So today's a bit different because there's no slides. But what I was going to ask is that you'll be jumping to different places in the Bible. So you've all got Bibles on your tables. And I am carrying on the series called Love Does. And I listened to Vince's talk on Love Does Not Strut. I think James has spoken as well, but I haven't heard that one. And Vince mentioned that this series is taken from the very famous piece of scripture at 1 Corinthians 13. And for this series of talks, Mike picked the Message version of the Bible. And I'm just going to recap on the lines that we're choosing for from this series. So, and Vince also said these last week. So the series in 1 Corinthians 13, it's a different translation to what's in the Bible. So you might just want to listen. So, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. So my line, because I chose a really easy one, is trusts God always. So Vince mentioned that love is a doing word, an action word, but it is also something that we can feel. And I think the line I've chosen, trusts God always, is both something we can do as an expression of love, but it's also a posture or way of being in the world for us. But like all of the lines that I've just read out, it is challenging. So before I deep dive into understanding these three words, I thought we'd look at the slightly different translation, which is the ones you have in your church Bibles, and see what that says. Now, because the Message version is a paraphrase, so it's taking the ideas and putting them into modern words, it's hard to get to the exact verse which covers trusts God always. But if you go to page 1154 in the Church Bible, so page 1154, and if you go to 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 7 and 8, it says, it, and I'm saying love, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So I think Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message version, has put together the idea of trusting God always and love never failing. And I think God and love can be interchangeable in many ways of thinking. But for most of this talk, I'm going to talk about the three words I was given, which are trusts God always. And we can take it that a loving way of being in the world is to trust God always, or as Vince put it, a demonstration or example of love in the world is to trust God always. So I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands, but if I asked how many of you can say you trust God always, I wonder how many hands would go up. So if I changed the question and said, if I asked you how many trust God sometimes, I think more hands would go up, probably including my own. Trusting God always, you see, is tough. Trusting or trust is a hard word, difficult to put into practice. Always is a hard word. Luckily, God is an easy word to get your head round. No, scratch that. So all three words are challenging, and putting them together is super challenging. So when our lives or circumstances in our lives are going well, trusting God seems so much easier. Somehow in those better times, it feels like God is on our side, God is for us, and it is easier to trust him or her. But when life gets tough, we can be like the people who wrote the Psalms, asking, where is God? Why has God left me on my own without support? Or where things are extremely bad, we can feel like we've lost hope. So I heard a story about Michael Phelps. Does anyone know who Michael Phelps is?
Swimmer,
yeah. So he was an American swimmer who won a record 8 gold medals in the 2008 Beijing Olympics. But leading up to this peak competition, Michael had a very hard trainer who would make him train in the dark. So he's in the swimming pool in the dark. So I just want you to imagine that. The trainer would also put tiny holes in his goggles so they filled up with water. The trainer would insist on ice baths and a hard training regime. Sounds like a really nice guy. But anyway, so during the 200 meter butterfly, which is the really hard one where you do that, at the 2008 Beijing Olympics, moisture got into Phelps's goggles, and by the third lap, they were completely filled with water. He couldn't see the black lines on the bottom of the pool. He couldn't see the lane lines or the walls. However, because he had practiced this exact scenario in the dark with water in his goggles, he didn't panic. He just relied on his stroke count to know how far the end of the pool was and how quick to go. And he won a gold medal and set a new world record. So what has that got to do with trust God always? Well, I wonder if we knew God more and felt we could rely on God regardless of our circumstances, if we knew that whatever is happening, God is with us, would we feel more confident to trust God always? To swim in the dark, even when we don't know which way to go, where the lanes are or where the walls are, or even what anyone else is doing in the pool beside us. But can you trust someone or something that you don't have a relationship with? How do you get to know God if all this God stuff or God talk is new to you? Well, a good place to start is the Gospels and just reading about Jesus. Jesus was very clear that people who know him know his Father God. So again, I'm going to ask you just to look in your Bible. So this is page 1082, and it's John 14, from verse 7 onwards. And Jesus says, "If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip, one of the disciples, said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." So God is like Jesus and Jesus is like God. So try and get to know Jesus by reading about him first if this is all new to you. You could also pray for the Holy Spirit to help you with noticing God acting in your life, and I will come back to this later. You could also develop a prayer life where you try and chat to God and listen to what he has to say to you. I'm just going to do a diversion. Jimmy and I were standing outside this morning and talking about him giving up cigarettes. And Jimmy talked about the fact that he prayed and prayed and prayed to give up cigarettes and nothing had happened. And then he heard God clearly saying to him, "You didn't want to give up." And then he was ready. He wanted to give up. But I thought that was an amazing example of Jimmy just chatting to God about giving up cigarettes. So sorry, Jimmy. Thanks for your story this morning. Yeah. So chatting to God is hard, as often it can feel like just silence, which is also okay. But it's hard to trust something you don't know or have a relationship with. So the Bible has plenty to say about trusting God, and I just pulled out a couple of quotes for us to look at. So again, back to your Bibles. So this is on page 637. which is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. So page 637, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And this is a very famous quote again. So it encourages us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Now this is a tricky verse, as it's asking us to trust God with all our heart, but also to not lean on our own understanding. Now Vince touched a little on this in his talk about pride, the idea of self-sufficiency, and I know everything mentality, stopping us needing God or seeking God's wisdom for our lives and decision making. This verse is asking us to acknowledge God, and he will make straight your paths. Now this is tricky language, and anyone who has been involved with me on a Wednesday night book club or other theological debate will know that I struggle with this kind of language or promise. The somehow slightly contractual, you do this and God will do this equation. So in my experience, life is not like that. I find it hard to point to the straight paths that God has made in my life. I can point to the cul-de-sacs, the brick walls, the wiggly lines, the rabbit holes, and the wells of despair, but the straight paths are a little more tricky. Again, anyone who has spent time in my company will know I'm a bit fixated by the idea that we have an exit interview from this life, which I base on Romans 14. So again, I'm going to ask you to turn to this. So it's page 1141. So page 1141, and it's Romans 14:10, about halfway in the verse, and it says, "For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." So I've taken that last line, "so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." But in my exit interview, it's not just me giving an account of myself to God. It's me and God having a chat where a whole lot of my life suddenly makes sense. The straight paths are drawn by God on a blackboard or on an AI-enabled screen. I'm not sure what's in heaven, blackboard or screen. And he says, God says, "I did this. This happened because this is what I protected you from. This was the alternative, hopefully disastrous scenario that didn't happen, etc., etc." And the straight paths are suddenly seen by me, but only because God points them out. Currently, they are tricky to see. And this actually links back to the passage that trust God always is taken from. So again, I'm going to ask you to flip back to page 1154, so back to 1 Corinthians 13. So I knew I was making you work this morning. And at the very end, in verse 12, so 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, it says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." And an old, much older translation, the King James Version of this verse, is very poetic. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known." So this speaks of the contrast of what we can know now whilst on earth versus what we will know when we come face to face with God. The promise is that one day, and I do believe this, we will know fully and be fully known. We will no longer see through a glass darkly, but we'll be seeing God face to face. But for now, things are a little dark. But we're being asked to swim in the dark with our goggles full of water, and we are being asked to still trust God, always. Not sometimes when we can see the path ahead, but always. So I won't ask you to turn to this because this is a message version, but another verse about trusting God is in Psalm 62, and it says, "My help and glory are in God, granite strength and safe harbour God. So trust him absolutely, people. Lay your lives on the line for him. God is a safe place to be." So question, do you feel safe with God? Is being with God a safe place to be? This is also a toughie and a challenge to trust in God always. If it doesn't feel safe with God, it's hard to trust God. Now, all sorts of reasons could come into our minds when we think about why we find it hard to trust. Our relationships with other humans could be difficult. We might have felt betrayed or let down and therefore feel it's hard to trust anyone, including God. We might feel we don't want to be disappointed, and the way to avoid disappointment is not to hope for anything, not to trust that God is good and that he loves us. What would it take for us to be able to say with the psalmist, God is a safe place, or God is a safe place to be, or God is my refuge? I can shelter with God and he will protect me. In dark times, do I think that God is a safe place to be? Do I trust God even when circumstances in my life are not good? Do I believe that God is inviting me to something more, to a deeper relationship with him? Do I believe that God is mystery and that my understanding of him can never be exhausted? Do I believe that God is for me and that he wants me to flourish? Or am I thinking that God is waiting for me to cop this life up, like an authoritarian policeman or demanding judge, waiting to slap that fine on me for whatever transgression has happened today? Do I believe that God is loving and affirming, or am I fearful about decisions, viewing the path of this possible life as very narrow? Again, back to my straight, tiny paths. So that was a question I had as a young Christian. I sort of drove Mike nuts. Is there one straight, tiny path for my life? And oops, did I miss it already? So the answer to that question is no. God is spacious, freeing, and gives us freedom to flourish. Does your trust God always allow you to be angry with God and not be fearful that God can't cope with your anger? Can we get to a place of understanding that God can cope with us? We can tell God what we think about certain things without censoring ourselves. God is spacious enough and big enough for all our emotions, not just the cute and cuddly ones. If you are angry, reading the Psalms is a good place to start, as they show us it's okay to be angry with God, and being angry with God has been a thing for about 1,000 years. So you're not doing anything new. Sometimes our view of God can be shaped by our upbringing. If our childhood was tough, we might view God as someone who doesn't care or can't care about me with all my problems. Or we might struggle with the perennial question of why is there so much suffering in the world? How can I trust a God who allows suffering? Is God indifferent to my suffering and everyone else is suffering? I believe the answer to that is that God is not indifferent, but that through Jesus becoming human, the incarnation, God stepped into our suffering world. He knows what it is to suffer. He experienced suffering as a human being, physical and emotional suffering. And if you read about the lead up to the crucifixion and the actual crucifixion, you will see that Jesus, and therefore God, suffered as we suffer. God understands our suffering and weeps with us. John 11:35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. So again, I loop back to knowing more about Jesus means we know more about God. And Jesus demonstrates radical inclusivity and love. So the parables that Jesus told about God include leaving the 99 sheep to go and find the one lost sheep, which is a foolish thing to do. Or the prodigal son's father demonstrating lavish, unmerited love and radical generosity. Or paying people what they have not earned. So how can you feel nearer to God so that you can trust him more? Well, I heard this on a talk recently. Start where you are. Don't wait for things to be better, different, improved, or feeling more Christian, or anything like that. Just start where you are, perhaps even today. You can say to God, I don't get it. You feel distant, cold, not there. God can only work in the now and with the real. So be real with God. Tell him how you are doing today. What are your hopes and fears today? So recently, Lectio 365, the app, was going through the book of Acts in the Bible and looking at the encounters the risen Jesus had with different people and groups that he meets. What is remarkable is that he meets each of them where they are. The chat on the Emmaus Road, doubting Thomas. Similarly, he meets us where we are, and we don't have to work too hard to meet him. God will find you. Sometimes we just need to slow down and notice where God is already at work in our lives. So a good idea that I had to do when things were very difficult for me was to practice gratitude. And for me, this started with just going to bed and trying to recall three good things in the day. And at times finding three was hard, but I stuck with it. And then I just slowly changed my way of seeing the world. Yes, things are hard and challenging, but I can still find small things to be grateful for. Small things where I can speculate maybe God was in that. Perhaps God helped with that. So many of us have stories about when we first became a Christian and the whiz-bang miracles of God that happened, where we really saw God at work. If you are a few decades into the Christian journey, it can be much harder to see God in the mundane. But God is calling us to a deeper relationship. I would still like the whiz-bang miracles, just by the way, but then I have to say that God has made me as someone who is demanding. Also, we may need to change things up every so often if we've been Christians for a while. Our way of praying or reading the Bible may have become dry, so don't be afraid to change things. Perhaps you need to meet with someone you don't usually meet with. Perhaps you need to move to silent prayer, stop speaking for a bit. Perhaps for now, all you can do is sit in the dark, not saying anything, and that's okay too. Perhaps your goggles are full of water and you need a new pair. In order to trust God, we have to believe that God is good, that God is love. Don't believe anything bad about God. That is a challenge for me. Can I come to a place where I only believe good things about God and that he is for me always? So going back to the question at the start, can I move from trusting God sometimes to trusting God always? And this brings me on to another huge topic. Are we trusting God always, meaning for this life and the next life? So I wasn't here last weekend because I was at a funeral, my brother-in-law's father's funeral, and I didn't know if Paddy Ryan, the man who died, had a faith when he died at 89 years of age. So he went to Catholic Church, but I don't know how often or what his view of God was. He worked hard as a farmer all his life, and the priest who conducted his service made mention of the parallels between the Good Shepherd and Paddy Ryan minding his sheep on the beautiful hills of Tipperary in Ireland. So Sinead, my sister, who is not a dog person or a God person, started crying when she saw Paddy Ryan's sheepdog by the grave. And I just thought, can I trust God with Grandad Paddy? I don't know anything about his faith life, but can I trust God that he's now caring for this much-loved granddad? Yes, I thought, I can. I don't know how or all the explanations, but I can. Also, and we talked about church this morning, are we trusting God with our church? You'll all know that the only constant is change, and we've been seeking your opinions on this church through our year of curiosity. So none of us know what is going to happen at or with BGMC in the future, but we are called collectively to trust God always. We are able to look back at 160 years of trusting God always in this church. But again, looking to the future is like being Michael Phelps, swimming in the dark or with our goggles full of water. We don't know what the future holds, but can we look back at years of trusting God and just keep swimming onwards? So to end off, I want to encourage us with these words from Isaiah 26, and again it's the Message version. So, people with their minds set on you, who keep completely whole, steady on their feet, because they keep at it and don't quit. Depend on God and keep at it, because in the Lord God you have a sure thing. Amen.